Broadcasting from InnieUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Ante Up. It's January 9th, 2009, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet.
Chris, I hear the wife has been away.
She has been away, and I can't control myself. I have been playing until like 3 in the morning.
Yeah, you know,
every night.
It's funny, you know, when our wives are away, our lives are a mess, right? You know, some guys will probably head down to Mons Venus and have a wonderful time, but no, you and I, we stay up all night playing poker and messing up our sleep schedules. Just doesn't
my eating schedule too. I mean,
oh, yeah.
My wife, if she ever left me, I would be 500 pounds. I would never shower. I mean, she has to. She can't leave me. I would be lost without her, because I tell you, just knowing that she's there, it keeps me on a schedule. And like, if she's going to sleep, I know I have an hour or so before I have to play. You know, but now it's like, 3 o'clock in the morning, haven't showered in 2 days. Hey, these are the same clothes I wore Tuesday. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my God. But I have been playing a lot, and you know, one thing I've noticed too is I've been playing a lot of the same players. I don't know if it's because I've been playing till 3 in the morning and that's when they play, or...
You're on their schedule now.
Yeah, I'm on their schedule, so I'm seeing them all the time. But I tell you, you know, I don't know if it's being alone and being alone in that house and paranoia, but when someone sits down that I have notes on, I get a little nervous because I think, aha! I have notes on you, you bastard! I'm going to play better than you because I know how you play. I know that you raise under the gun with crap, or, you know, and I get all excited. And then I realize, wait a minute, maybe he sat down because he has notes on me.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks I'm a fish. And now I'm nervous because maybe he's got something on me that I don't know. And then I sign off and go and get into bed all alone and curl up in the fetus position and cry. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm a little paranoid, but how do you react to that? First of all, do you take notes when you're playing online
that? Yeah, here's the thing. When you mentioned this to me, I'm like, you know what? Boy, I haven't taken notes on players in a long time. When I first logged on and I got used to the fact that you can just write them in there online, I loved it. And I started taking notes on everybody that sat down at my table that I had something on.
Right.
And for a while, I saw a bunch of them come circling through my tables a lot. And then, I just got lazy, like everything else. And I've probably made a note in 2 years now.
Oh, really?
So I almost rarely see anybody at... and I've never made a note on any of the Ante Up Nationals either, which seems odd. But then again, I know them. So.
Yeah, I haven't done that. I mean, maybe the one or two. But yeah, for the most part... when the Ante Up Nation sits down with me, I pretty much know what to expect. They're trying to bust my ass, and
probably will.
Yeah. So, but with these other guys, like, it's happened like 3 times this week where someone sits down at my table and it's like, dope, that guy's got a little green triangle, or whatever, and he has notes on me then, because that's why he sat here. But I opened it up to the guys in the forum, this same problem, because, you know, I haven't been blogging that much. Like, actually... I looked at it this week, and it said July 31st was the last time I put something on the publisher's blog. And I've just been so busy that I haven't had a chance. So I was like, you know, I'm going to try to blog some more. I'm going to try to spend some more time on the forums this year. And the first thing I offered up was this. You know, how do you react to that? And a lot of the guys just said, how to keep notes, you know? Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm wondering if you guys just
Yeah, you're worried about people
out.
Stalking.
Yeah,
you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a couple of them said, you know, and you guys should check it out, too, at anteupmagazine.com/forum. You'll see that, you know, some of them said, you know, come on, these guys, I doubt very much that they have notes on you. And if they do have notes on you, it's not really going to matter. Because then I started thinking about, you know, when I play live and I go to Derby Lane or, you know, any of the other rooms, you know, I'll see the same familiar characters all the time.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I know
absolutely.
How they play and they
absolutely.
See me. So, I mean, I don't know if they know how I play or not, but it's not that much different than that. So really, I was just overreacting. But really, it just freaked me out. All of a sudden, boop, there's a green triangle. I'm like, holy cow, I know how this guy plays. I checked the note and then... I'm like, wait a minute, you know, so it just freaked me out this week. I've been playing a lot this week. I don't know if it's staring at a screen for 25 hours a day and, you know, which is pretty much impossible. I've been playing a lot and my streak continues. Although last night, I was telling you real quick, you know, I sat down with this guy in Stud High Low Heads Up. We're playing like 1-2 and he had like 18 bucks and I took it all from him in like 10 minutes, maybe 20 minutes. Then he rebought.
You're such a bully.
I know. Then he rebought and I was like, yes. Keep rebuying, buddy. And then He took all my money.
Yes.
I was like, are you kidding me? I kept making straights when he made flushes. I kept making sixes when he made fives.
He's a hustler.
Oh, man. So I got some of it back, but then I lost. I ended up losing like $35 to this guy, heads up. So I was like, damn, let me go play No Limit Hold'em. And then I played against a guy, and I played at the 25-cent, 50-cent heads up. He had 50, I had 50. And like on the third hand, no, fourth hand, I had 60, and he still had 50. So I was like, oh, he's got the automatic rebuy thing on. Next hand, boom, I get 4-6 or 4-5 of clubs or whatever, 3-5 of clubs. And I turn a straight, and we end up getting it all in. He had two pair, and so I won all my money back, and I ended up making like a $25 profit on the night. But, you know, that's how my night's been going lately. I mean, I usually have to play till 3 in the morning just to get my money back.
Now, did you put a note on him?
Yeah, I put a note on
Hustles.
Him. Hustles? Yeah. The first guy, his name is Chubby Cheeks. That was his name.
Chubby
man.
Cheeks.
Chubby
excellent.
Cheeks, man. He kicked my ass. So it was just a rush of cards, though. I mean, I was back to even a bunch of times with him. It was just a matter of rush of cards, really. So you take notes, but you haven't taken notes there. I heard that you've been taking notes other ways, though.
Yeah, you know, I've been playing a lot more live now than I have online.
Yeah.
And, you know, I go in spurts where I like to do one or the other. And but I've been hitting the live rooms a little bit more lately. You know, I got that nice, sweet, straight flush on Christmas Eve. And
right.
Then head out to Derby Lane and their new room. New Year's Day, actually, and chopped at a final table there.
Sweet.
So got some money back there, and so that was nice. And then bubbled last night, Tampa Bay Downs.
Bubble Boy returns. You were riding the rush until the bubble.
But, you know, we didn't do a New Year's resolution show this year. And
no.
Mostly it's because we know, and now thousands of people know, that we have no capability of...
Keeping
any of these resolutions going on.
You. You actually broke a resolution during the resolution show once. That's not me. But no, I agree. And it's so hard to come up with original resolutions every year, too.
Yeah, it is. And so unofficially, I'm doing one now. It's because, you know, it's January and it's the time of year that you need to do this. You know, I'm going to start keeping a little electronic diary of my playing this year.
Not going to. You already have, right? You've already started?
Yes. But, you know, it's a matter of keeping it up.
Dear diary, the dealer looked at me funny today. I didn't want to misinterpret his move, so I played it coy.
You know, to be honest, the reason I haven't done it before is that I'm really no spreadsheet whiz.
Uh-huh.
And I still am no spreadsheet whiz, but I certainly learned a lot in the last 6 months.
Yeah, yeah.
With the business, and yeah. So I at least got enough capability of understanding the power of a spreadsheet now, and that makes keeping a diary a whole lot easier, I think. So,
but now tell me about this diary. Does the diary have just strict numbers, or are you actually putting in notes and saying, "Oh God," or because I know now you're also talking about this new system you have for the way you
right.
play. You've been playing
that's
really
right.
well. Are you keeping notes on how you're playing as well?
Yeah, actually, I want to keep a little bit of notes. Here's the thing about the diary, and I certainly want to throw this open to the Antiup Nation to send us. Email to podcast at antiupmagazine.com or get on their forum and let us know what you do, how you keep your diary.
Yeah.
Because we also the Antiup tax guy John Bryan is going to hopefully be writing a column for us pretty soon on what kind of diary you need to keep for the IRS, which mm-hmm. is important.
Yep.
But you know, I'm interested in how much detail people keep on it, and here's the thing: I want to keep as much detail on a diary as possible. I think it's more useful the more stuff you put in there, but at the same time, the more complicated you make it, the less likely you are to keep going with it. I think, right?
Yeah, because that's the more the effort, the less the enthusiasm. Now, let me ask you this: when you're at the table, are you keeping notes and then taking them home and transferring them, or are you doing it from memory when you get home?
I'm going to go into that level.
Okay.
I think I'm going to have like a general. Comment on my play for that night, and maybe if there's a hand or something, so I can go back and look at what I've been doing.
Okay.
And but yeah, I'm not gonna go to that level, but certainly buy-ins and wins, losses, and types of games and locations, and we'll see how it goes. Well, I imagine this will last probably until we have a new president, but I'm hoping it goes a little longer than that.
Now, is this strictly live play diary, or are you doing
online
too? No,
it's going to be all my gambling too. I'm going to throw my fantasy football stuff in there.
Oh, jeez.
Those craps benders in Vegas and all that kind of stuff. And
I see a lot of computers crashing at the Long household. That's a lot of stuff. I thought you were just doing poker, but you're doing a complete gambling diary. Man, they,
well, I've always been curious at how much cheddar I'm siphoning off of the hard work labor of me every year into other people's hands.
Just remember, if you win, I get half. If you lose, it's all on you. It's a no lose gamble situation for me.
So no, Chris, we get a lot of good feedback from our listeners.
Yeah,
and our
hopefully we'll get some from that. But you know, lately we've been hearing some stuff about the show from people, and we wanted to talk about a little bit about that. I think maybe we'll start with a letter we got from our good friend Rant2112, who is a good friend of mine. We play a lot together online, and of course we have the Rush thing going for us in common.
You guys got that going for you.
He sent us a letter, and here's what it said. He said, for some reason, since leaving the Times, the show has been kind of up and down for me. I finally figured out why. Recently, there have been some interviews where Chris is interviewing someone without Scott. I assume these are interviews used in writing articles for the magazine. I don't think the solo interviews end up being as good. Too often, Chris is just letting the interviewee talk, and the flow and banter of the normal show isn't there. I think that's pretty much enough of the letter. So what do you think? Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah, I totally agree that you don't know how to interview people, that's why you need me there. I mean, please reference the Eric Seidel interview for how you should handle a one-on-one interview.
I wasn't expecting that at all. Self-deprecating humor from Scott Long? Oh, my. No,
I mean... There's obviously no way to sugarcoat it. We would love to have all the interviews we do be the two of us, because we think that's what we do best, and being able to play off each other and take the interviews in a different direction. And that's certainly our first choice, always.
Right.
But, you know, sometimes we're limited. We only get the studio here at this lovely Clear Channel station once a week. We got a little bit of flexibility in, but not much. So, you know, we have to fit that into poker player schedules. And if anybody knows pros, they have some weird, wicked schedules.
And they don't commit to anything.
Exactly.
I'll reference Todd Brunson on this one.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
that's right.
He's like, if I don't commit to anything, I can't be held responsible for anything. That was basically what he told me.
Which
and
I love
so
that. I love that.
That's
one.
A great line. So it's true. But really what happens is a lot of these, plus, like, even if you took the interview I did with David Chino Ream, he was in London. There was no way. It was like a spur of the moment. I finally got the Stars people to call me back.
Just the phone rang.
And I'm like, holy cow. All right, hold on. And I had to record it in my house. So, you know, sometimes it happens like that. Other times, you know, we need an interview for the magazine, and we're trying, you know, to keep something separate. But other things, too, we're going to use the synergies that we have. You know, it's just two of us putting out a magazine and a show. So we need to use whatever we can. And you got to remember, too, the other thing, you know, some people talk about duplication. You know, oh, what we hear on the show, you know, we see in the magazine, and we are totally thankful that you subscribe to the magazine for us. But really, when you think about it, it's about 25 listeners who subscribe, and the rest are 25,000 people in Florida who are reading it, and they're not overlapping much. So you may have read it, and you may be the unique 25 people, but really, we need to, you know, we need to be able to show all of the stuff that we're doing, and everyone should be able to enjoy those interviews, which is why we're doing it on both ends. But, I mean, I take a little bit of offense to this. I don't usually get offended by anything. So
no,
really.
No, not you at all. No,
I mean, I really don't.
This is a new Chris Cazenza.
I mean, I may go off on you for, you know, playing 4-6 and limit hold'em when I flop a set of queens and you river a freaking baby straight on me. But that's not taking offense. That's just calling you stupid. But what I'm saying is that, you know, even when you and I do our interviews and we play off of each other, I still pretty much come up with all the questions.
Yeah,
because
right.
I do all my research.
I'm just there to keep you on the straight and narrow.
You know, like the
Espandiari. Make sure you're walking the line.
The Espandiari interview was hilarious. I thought that you know, I got some really good information out of a lot of these solo interviews, but it definitely is better when you're there.
Yeah, well, I don't think anybody's saying the information is there. It's just that you know, they like the double team action, and who can blame them?
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, I totally agree with that. Who could blame him? I know. You know, we got to have you on the show once in a while, Scott. You know, I mean, that's the way it is.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's why you haven't kicked me out of the curb yet. Appreciate that.
But we do have an interesting thread going on at the forums, started by Blazman. And so I want everybody to check it out over at anteup.com/forum. And it's talking about the status of the show. It came under the Anteup Recaps forum. And basically, people think that we're being a little soft with some people, a little kid gloves kind of thing. And, you know, to an extent, we agree with that. We think that, you know, the show's going to take a new direction pretty soon. I think it might start a little bit today with some of it. And, you know, there's some stuff on the horizon for us that we think once that stuff pans out, if it does pan out, things are going to change on the show, and you know, we may start to get into a little more of the opinionated stuff. And it's not that we're not going to do it this week either, because we are, but some of the stuff that we do on this show, we have to look out for ourselves as well. And I would think you would agree with that.
Absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, definitely go over to antiapmagazine.com/forum and chime in. We love any kind of feedback you guys
absolutely.
Give us. Constructive or otherwise, we're going to try to put some stuff into motion today, right?
Yeah, and today, and you know, I had a lot of fun with the post too. So you might want to check out some of the stuff that we did, because I kind of took the kid gloves off with some of my responses. So I think that we're.
I don't think you own kid gloves.
Are you going to see new and improved Annie Up?
All right, you want to try something new here, Chris?
Yeah, I want to try something new.
All right, well, here's our first new segment in a while.
Yeah.
Probably since the hotline, right? That was our last new segment.
A new segment, yeah. That was. Yeah,
that's been a couple years, right?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Man.
Yeah, it's been a while. See, so we're getting stagnant. We're trying to mix it up today.
All right, but you know, so here's the thing: we want the banter to be a little more thought provoking.
Yeah,
stuff that kind of helps you think or makes you wonder about your game and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And then a lot of those cool kind of newsy things that we've been throwing out, we're going to all put them in a rapid fire segment that we don't have a great name for.
It's dodging bullets.
The Anti-Up News Desk.
Right now it's the... Anti-Up News Desk.
Can I be the news anchor in the first one?
Yeah, you can be the news anchor.
All right, here we go. The Richmond County Sheriff's Office in Georgia reports that a man was confronted about trying to pass a fake $20 bill at a drive-thru. The man confessed that it was actually his fake poker money and opted to pay with a real $10 bill.
And you thought that there was no use for play poker money. This is the reason why I've been sitting in on the play games for years and years, stacking up all that money just to take it to drive-thrus. Unbelievable.
A new poker player representation company has formed. The Poker Players International has launched, with a roster headed by Robert Mizrachi, Eric Lynch, and Antiup Nation's very own Lee Childs. For more, check it out at PokerPlayersInternational.com.
Lee's going to hook us up.
It's great. He's got a good little company there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And finally, Poker News columnist Dennis Campbell says, be careful of what you wish for if you're hoping your state takes the lead in regulating online poker. Campbell says, imagine a world where online sites need to tax each player differently based on what state they live in. Check that out on PokerNews.com for his whole column.
Yeah, you never know what they're going to hand. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
I think Garth Brooks said it best when he said, I want to thank God for unanswered prayers. You know, I mean, if he answered everything I wished for, maybe I wouldn't get what I wanted. You know what I mean? So you got to be careful. Nice job with the news, Scott.
Gosh, thanks.
God, I can't wait till you start doing your anchor voice.
Right.
This is the news for Scott Long.
That was kind of more like my weather traffic cop voice, right?
Yeah.
I'll proceed down into the studio host eventually.
All right, well, that was pretty cool. And, of course, now we got to talk about our other segment, the Donkey Gear Hotline. It's 813-448-1120. If you call that number and we use your clip on the air, we will send you something really pretty from donkeygear.net. It's Mark from Chicago.
Hey, Scott and Chris. This is Mark calling from Chicago, big fan of the show. I'm just calling in about your topic in the last episode about foreign speaking player and non-English discussions at the table. I had an incident about a year ago at Caesars in Vegas. I was in town for about 4 days playing a bunch of tournaments. And 9 a.m.
Hey, what language is that he was speaking at the end there?
Yeah.
Only dogs could hear it. I mean, well, I don't understand the silent treatment there. You know, when my wife gives it to me, I don't know what it means. So I'm certainly not going to know what Mark from Chicago means when he gives me the silent treatment.
Yeah, Mark, here's the thing. You can use the full minute. I mean, we know there's not much time on there, that it's tough to get that whole
column
in 1 minute.
I know we're strict about
that
whole minute thing. But
well, go ahead, use the whole minute. You don't need to cut it off at 22 seconds.
No, I'm dying to know what, you know, was it like Swahili? What were they saying at the table? Pig Latin? That would have been cool if somebody was speaking Pig Latin and you could figure out what they were saying. Oye, Obe.
Is there a foreign version of Pig Latin? Can there be like a French Pig Latin? That would get really confusing.
Oh,
wouldn't it?
Man, that would be sick. Voulez-vous, Obe? No, but really, Mark, I guess we can send you something, even though you didn't make a point.
Yeah, definitely, you know, send us your address and your whole address.
Yeah,
don't
the whole
cut
address.
It off halfway through.
This is Marcus Chicago, P.O. Box. I mean, you got to hear the rest of it, you know what I'm saying? So what are we going to send him, Scott?
Chris, we're going to send him a quality t-shirt from the good folks at DonkeyGear.net. Donkey Gear offers poker wear geared towards those who like to be the donkey or those trying to call out the donkey. But it's more than just funny t-shirts. their hats, poker chips, tables, dealer buttons, cards, books, and other accessories. Check it all out at donkeygear.net.
Nice job.
Thank you.
He did that in the first take.
Yeah.
Not. We'll be sure to put that at the end of the show. Let's move on to 1 Minute Mystery.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another 1 Minute Mystery. The Case of the Charity Ball. This week, we find ourselves in a charity No Limit Hold'em tournament in Las Vegas.
My wife, she gets involved with charity functions. I'm too busy. On call. You understand.
The tournament starts with about 120 players, many of which are pros. The tournament pays the final table, but only the top three spots are really significant prizes. There are 21 left in the tournament, and the blinds just went to 1K, 2K. We would normally be at a full 10-seat table, but this is just before a table break, and we're playing seven-handed. In this hand, there is only one pro at the table, two to my left, and he folds under the gun plus one. We're going to be sitting in the big blind this hand with 15K of chips. It folds around to the cutoff, who moves all in for 8K. Now, the cutoff's on a short stack because when we had 8K 20 minutes ago and we're playing eight-handed and moved all in under the gun with queen-queen, we got a call from them with ace-ace and we hit a queen on the river to double up. But the hand gets more interesting. The small blind acts as if she's going to fold, then changes her mind and moves all her chips in, and she has 10.5K. And now it gets really interesting. In the big blind, you look down at ace-king off. So here's the dilemma. What's your best move here?
Okay, here's what I think. And I could be wrong, and who knows. But really, he talked about in the beginning of it that you only the top three really paid anything of substance.
Exactly.
You're not going to get it in better with an ace-king. The problem is, though, is I have a feeling that we're racing one hand and we're dominating another one, which means that one of our outs is probably gone. But I'm still willing to take that chance. But I have a feeling that we're probably racing at least one guy, maybe we might not even be live with one or two of our cards. So.
You might be right. And here's the thing: I probably would have been a little scared of this hand as I often am. But you're right; we need to double up. And ace king is a good one. And you could be right. But a lot of the play I've been watching lately, I see a lot of people making this move with ace jack or ace 10 or ace queen. So. I think it's just as likely that maybe we're not racing. We even could be dominated. We have a dominating our opponent here.
Absolutely. So. And you know what? In the end, this one was for charity anyway. So
yeah, that's right.
You know, you want to win.
As long as the kids can read.
It's the kids, man. It's for the kids. Give them some shoes.
Twiff.com lets you skip the middleman and buy your poker chips, tables, gifts, and much, much more straight from the factory at unbelievable savings. Use the famous Twiff countdown to group your purchases with others for free shipping. That's Twiff.com, direct from Asia at Asia prices. All right, Chris, I got lots of cool stuff for Christmas, and
me too.
I know you did too, but I did not get a crystal ball.
See, now I did.
I had it on my Amazon.com wish list too, and buy all the good stuff from Amazon.com. Click on our website.
That's right.
Get us some commissions.
Yeah, man. We need some commission.
But no, I did not get a crystal ball. So darn it, I am going to fashion my own little crystal ball here. And you fashioned your own little crystal ball.
I did.
Mine's probably cooler.
It probably is.
Because I'm the one that crafts the Andy Up Player of the Year trophy.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that you got the little donkey gear guy. Or I don't know what it is. It's nice.
It's a monkey.
Oh, it's a monkey. Okay.
Remember, apes.
Oh, yeah, apes. Monkey.
Gorilla.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. He's throwing feces.
Exactly.
I forgot about that.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Right.
Excellent.
So it'd be fun to put out a couple of our predictions for 2009. This last year we did our big awards for 2008. We got to look forward now to this great year ahead of us.
Yep.
And it's got to be a great year, right? Because I think everybody agrees that 2008, oof. Thank God that's over. So we have a little combination here. We're going to have some good, solid, real ones that we think will happen. We have some half-solid ones that we really hope happen. And then we got some ones that, if they happen, wow, it is going to be a wild, wild
it's
year.
It's going to be a great year if those happen, I tell you. I'm going to start it.
All right, get us started here.
I've been on this kick for a while, so I firmly believe that the UIGEA will fall in 2009. President Barack Obama will take great pleasure in overturning this egregious piece of legislation.
Nice word.
You know what else he's going to do, Scott? He's going to fill a propaganda bomb with copies of the rejected legislation and explode it on Bush's new house in Dallas. Oh, man. But seriously, I think the country could use this income, and he'll recognize that. We'll void it out, and then Congress will work towards something that makes sense for us all. I think it's going to start in 2009 and maybe finish up in 2010. But I really think it's just going
to
go away.
Yeah, I do think it's going to go away. I think you're right. I mean, obviously the power to revoke the whole midnight drop thing rests with Obama. But I think the real push on this is going to come from members of Congress.
Yeah.
So, I think you're right. I think even beyond the budget shortfalls and all that, I think people just realize that this whole thing was pushed through in a very devious manner and really doesn't make sense now. And
so I'm not really going on a limb here, but it's still pretty important.
Well, I mean,
and I think
there's
no
guarantees that it's going to happen. So there's a little bit of limb there.
Right,
but,
so,
you know, you're a big guy.
You're a big guy, I can handle it. There's my prediction.
Well, you know, and that leads right into my first one, too.
Cool.
I am going to say that budget shortfalls from sea to shining sea will be the unfortunate catalyst for state legislatures, including Florida's, to finally take a hard look at expanding gambling. And many lawmakers will finally see the difference between most games and a game of skill, like poker, and start to embrace it legally.
And I think they need to send Annie Duke around the country explaining why poker is skill. She does an excellent job. I said this before, and I think that she could do it. So I totally agree with you. I think that they're going to realize, you know what? Money can be made, and it's out there anyway. Let's make it more of it, you know? And I agree. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and we'll see how other states do it. It's an easier sell, I think, for this in Florida because poker is so big here. And because that's going to be what's going to happen. There's going to be a lot of lawmakers are going to say, hey, you know, hey, we need to fill these potholes. We need to make sure that kids still have lunch at school, and gambling is an easy way to do it. And the way to get around it for those folks that really don't like gambling is to come up with a good play like poker that if they can sell it on the fact that it's not as bad as lottery or bingo or these other things, that that maybe that'll work.
Yep, I totally agree. I have a potpourri of World Series predictions.
Is it a raspberry
it's the raspberry
blend?
Scented blend. It's morning dew.
Morning dew. I like that. Very good. Very good.
But I couldn't narrow it down. So okay. I have a host of them here that
you're
I wanted
a little
no,
bit. Here.
No particular order. I know. I'm sorry. But it's a World Series prediction. I think Scotty Wynn will have one of those apologetic weepy segments on ESPN.
Yes, I can see that already.
Yeah. Maybe even enter some sort of drinking rehabilitation thing and talk about how he's done it. And I have a feeling that's going to happen before the year's up. And I also think the prop bets will continue with Gavin Smith, Joe Seabock, and Jeff Madsen, but this prop bet will include some sort of anal probe.
Oh.
And it'll happen in the Rio's main lobby.
Is Eric Cartman from South Park going to be there to
yes.
help him out?
Do your impression of David Caruso's career! And a serious one, I think that Phil Ivey will win a bracelet, and I think it's likely going to be in Omaha this year.
Yeah.
That's a serious one. The other ones are kind of being funny. But I do think that something's going to happen with Scotty Wynn on ESPN.
No, yeah, I do. I think that would happen. And, the anal probe probably is going to be way out there on the limb. But,
you know, if Esfandiari and Locke are getting their colons cleaned out, I bet you, there's no reason why these guys might not get checked for colon screening.
God.
They're getting up there in years, so.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, it's past due for Mr. Ivy to get his bracelet. And I think you're right. Omaha is a good spot for him to get it.
Yeah, the last one he won was in Omaha.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, just going out there on a limb. But it's my World Series prediction.
All right, I have one World Series prediction.
Oh, okay, good.
This year too. You know how every year Phil Hellmuth likes to make a grand entrance.
Yes.
And last year he came dressed as General Patton with a bunch of women in their
11 women for his 11
exactly.
bracelets.
And you know, some people rubbed them the wrong way. You know, they're kind of offensive to the military.
Yeah, of course, especially during a war.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, that's Phil. That's what he does, and got people talking. So this year, my prediction is that Phil Hellmuth will arrive to a seat at the World Series of Poker main event late, of course, in grand fashion yet again. This time, he's dressed like an Iditarod dog sledder. And is pulled by 12 buxom beauties wearing real seal fur bikinis.
Yeah,
you can totally see that, can't
with
you?
PETA stickers on their foreheads.
You see coming down the whole Amazon room, you know, pulling them on a sled.
Oh, that's hilarious. A fake snow brought in. That'd be great.
You know, if he does that too, I'm going to demand, maybe I might have to trademark or copyright that that idea, because I want a little bit of his coin for when he does it.
Well, speaking of mistreating women, I think the World Poker Tour will move to the Lifetime Network in 2009. I mean, what the hell, right? It's been on every other friggin' makeshift network there is. Oh, man, it's unbelievable. This tour has more homes than a friggin' hobo. But I believe season 8 really will move onto another network. I think FSN got it, and I just have a feeling that it's going to move on again. I mean, clearly the WPT respects women, you know. So why not?
Yeah, lots of great female players playing.
Why not use a network that celebrates women? If Lifetime says no, there's always Oxygen or Oprah's network. But I have a feeling it's going to move again. You know, I don't know if they're doing all these 1 year contracts. WPT is starting to be like, you know, same thing with their hosts. 1 year contracts with these hosts.
It's like a hermit crab.
Yeah, it's like
move to a new home.
Move to a new home all the time. So I have a feeling the WPT will not last long on the FSN. Just throwing it out there.
You know, but hey, you know, we hope he continues to find a home, you know, because...
I'm not saying that.
No,
you know.
I know, but there's like a lot of... obviously, no one's going to deny that there's a glut of poker television out there, but certainly good poker television, there should always be a good home for, no matter whether it's the G4 network or Spike or, you know, C-SPAN.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing about FSN, though, is that it's always supported poker, but it always does it in this sort of backhanded compliment kind of way, where it's like, yeah, we like you, but you know, we don't stick with it for very long. You know, I mean, we'll see.
The whole commercialization of poker is taking off, right, Chris?
Oh yeah.
And so I think 2009, some folks are going to take it to the new level. I am predicting that Clear Channel Radio will invent personal video billboards for every piece of a poker player's wardrobe, thereby letting televised final table players multiply their income with 20 or 25 sponsors, all blinking and rotating on hats, sunglasses, shirts, and sweatshirt hoods.
Don't they already have like belt buckles that do this?
Yeah, but see, belt buckles aren't great for TV. They're not TV friendly.
It's below the waist.
Unless you got to get up all the time, you know, you're all in.
And which most of them do. So
yeah, that's true.
You might want that.
But that'd be part of the contract. You know, you have to get up for every third hand or something so you get some more exposure. But think about that. I mean, there's some great video billboards here in the Tampa Bay area.
Yeah,
just
maybe
think that, you know, they keep rotating and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to auction off a patch, you know, auction off five patches. Just make it a video patch and it keeps switching.
That's right.
It
just keeps rotating.
Yeah.
It's just like when you watch or you know what it's going to be. And maybe it'll have a green screen on it. And then they can put whatever they want on it at any given moment.
There you go. Just like those annoying, you know, Fox baseball things.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was saying.
Like, wow. Why would Tropicana Field put a Family Guy commercial on their back of their
backstock?
That is so
cool. And then inevitably you'll see the replay of a close call and you see this big green lime green thing in the background. What the hell is that? What the hell is lime green doing back there? Okay, my next one, for those of you who don't know him, his name is Blasman. And he likes to stir it up.
Yep, he's sure.
So I have a feeling that Blasman in 2009 is going to purchase some poker products from someone on Craigslist. And they'll never show up on his doorstep. This will prompt him to go into a killing spree at Foxwoods. Spewing sarcastic quips such as, all the way with an ace and J, you bastard.
A and a J.
I know. A and a J, ace and J. As he riddles the poker room with hot lead. Now, you laugh now.
And I am.
But you're going to cry later when it comes true.
Oh, and I will.
He's going to flip out.
No, Blas is a big teddy bear. He just likes to poke and prod, right?
Yeah, no.
He's not capable of this dastardly stuff that you're suggesting might happen.
No, of course he isn't capable of freaking out.
All right, well, I predict big things for another anti-upper this year. And a couple years ago, I still remember this day. I posted on our blog back at the times that, hey, the final table for the World Series is set, and no Antiup Nationals made it. Ha, 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 ha. And then literally 2 hours later, I get an email from the lovely Jenny Child saying, hey, guess what? My husband did make the final table, and he loves your show. I'm like, ooh.
And then my phone rang, and it was Lee on the phone. He's like, man, I listen to you guys all the time. I'm at the final table. And I'm like, no way. We talked for like 35 minutes. That was 35 minutes. I didn't have to be the time. It was great.
So 2008 was a quiet year for anti-uppers on the national stage, somewhat, comparatively. But I think we're primed for a big splash in 2009 from one of our own.
Yeah.
And Annie Epper will make a televised final table, whether it be the WSOP, the WPT, or even a smaller, yet still significant event, Chris, like the WSOP Circuit, or even the Heartland Poker Tour.
I like that prediction, but you didn't go far enough, Scott.
Oh, didn't go far enough.
Who is it going to be?
I don't want to go that far.
Who's the Annie Up National? All right, we're going to have to guess. I'm going to guess Tom Turley.
All right, Tom Turley.
You guess someone. Just guess anyone. But don't make it Lee, because that's too easy.
All right, well, you know, I'm going to go with Corey Ferby.
All right, there we go.
A former player of the year.
Yep. All right, that's a good guess. All right, so now we'll see what happens. The pressure's on, fellas. Don't let us down. Because now if they had no intentions of entering any big tournaments, now they have to, because the pressure. Okay, here's my last one.
All right. Well, I'm getting wistful and sad that it's coming to an end.
I'm sorry.
Make it a good one.
I think that Absolute Poker will essentially go away. I think Ultimate Bet will absorb AP's players and will become one new site, likely with a new name. I'll even go Nostradamus on your ass and predict the name of this site. It will be called Camouflage Poker, and their slogan will be, "You may think you see us, but you don't."
Very nice. Very
thank
nice.
You, thank well you very played. Much. But I think they're going away.
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, they merged, and they've always been kind of sort of together, and then they merged this year, and it probably doesn't make much sense for them both to continue two different brands unless they do vastly different things, which I don't think they are.
Which they aren't.
And, you know, certainly a name change probably, you know, you hate to give up on a name because you invested so much time in the brand, but there's times when you probably should.
Yeah, and in actuality, they probably will call it Serious Poker, which is the name of the software they use anyway or whatever. So that was cool. I'm glad you agree with me.
Yeah, all right. Well, my last one, too, is also in the online poker realm.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to suggest that ConspiracyTheoryPoker.com launches. Now, this new real money site will attempt to position itself in the crowded online poker market by appealing to players who are always dubious that something's not on the up and up when they're playing online, whether it be faulty RCGs, constantly shuffling decks, or mass cheating rings. Now imagine this, Chris. Players can join in the monthly Bigfoot bounty tournaments. Every hour, one player will be chosen at random and will lose all his chips into the Bermuda Triangle bust out. And you can re-steal with 7-2 off from the JFK assassination seat.
You should have fit something in there about not really landing on the moon, too.
The moon, yes. I was trying to come up with another conspiracy. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I'll work on that for next year.
That's a great one. And, you know, there's never any bad beats on that
that's true.
Site, too.
That's true.
Or the best hand always holds up.
All right, now I'm joking here, but, you know, wouldn't that be great? I mean, you kind of look at clusters where people go that are all like-minded, and certainly the internet is helping fracture people into these little tiny groups, whether it's on Facebook or forums or things like that.
Yeah.
You know, I even watched a special last night on Harvey Milk, you know, after I saw the movie, and, you know, they've got a Harvey Milk high school in New York now where it's predominantly gays and lesbians, and people are talking about whether that's good or not. But, you know, why not just put all these people that are kind of in the shadows, worried about online poker and think everything is devious. Just put them on one side. They'd be loving each other. They'd be bouncing theories off each other the whole time while they're playing cards.
I think I'd be president of the association. Well, nice job on yours. And
thank you. And you too. You too.
I think that I think it's a good chance a lot of these might happen. So stay tuned. And
we'll see.
Maybe we'll refer back to them every once in a while once it happens. It's not just a dealer button. It's more than a tournament timer. It's Pro Dealer Button, and it's a synchronized poker game management system. The buttons talk to each other, so every table in your home game is on the same page at all times. Pre-order yours today at ProDealerButtons.com. Use the code ANNIEUP05 and save 5% on your order.
Today's Hand of the Week is brought to you by GreatPokerHands.com and its Great Texas Hold'em Strategy Cards. Correct the single biggest mistake made by Texas Hold'em players. Order today at GreatPokerHands.com. Use that great code ANTE for 20% off your order. And if you want to be a Hand of the Week and win one of those great strategy hands, email to podcast@anteupmagazine.com. We'll put it in the hopper and see whether it makes the show, like today's Hand of the Week, which comes from Brian in Waimama, Florida. Is that correct?
That is correct. You said it right.
I had no idea how to pronounce it, and fortunately, you knew it. You've actually been to Waimama.
Yep. That's encouraging that you know how to pronounce it and that it's coming from someone around here, so that means maybe we picked up a new listener off the magazine.
Yeah, maybe. Waimama, like what a cool name for a city.
Hey, when you said put it in the hopper, you didn't mean the wheel hopper, right?
No, I didn't want to get to you.
We didn't want any of that happening.
Right, exactly. All right, so we'll set it up here really quickly. He's playing a $5.50 six max tournament on PokerStars. All right, and 2/3 of the field has already busted out.
All right.
Okay. And we're about 600 from the money. You can love online tournaments.
Two-thirds are gone, and there's still 600 from the money.
Still 600, yeah, before you get to the money, even. Wow.
Oh, my God.
All right, and he says the villain in his hand has been playing relatively loose, passive, and then he gets into a bunch of poker abbreviations that get really complicated.
BPIPs.
Exactly. No, it's cool that people think that way, but, our minds aren't set up that way. Mm. But essentially, he's saying that his opponent here puts money in the pot about half the time.
Okay.
Half the hands he's playing.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
All right. And, of course, he says, his statistics are based on about 40 hands, blah, 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 blah. So it's not statistically meaningful, but, hey, you got to make your read, right?
Yep.
All right. So here we go. Blinds are at 100, 200. And the average tournament stacks are about 6,000. Our hero has 4,800. All right, under the gun folds. Under the gun plus one folds. The villain raises to 600. That's 3x the big blind, in case you weren't paying attention.
You're so good with math.
Yeah, sometimes. The button folds. The small blind folds. And we are in the big blind with 8 of spades, 8 of diamonds. And again, because of my enunciation, those are two snowmen. Not bullets.
Dog balls.
Yeah, okay.
That's
I like snowmen better.
Okay. I like dog balls better.
All right. 8 of spades, 8 of diamonds. All right?
Yes.
So we got a raise in front of us.
You know, if I don't respect this player, and it seems like this guy plays a lot of hands, I would probably re-raise here. And I know that in Dan Agrani would kick my ass and say, it's only eights. But I really feel like this guy is playing way too many hands, and if I'd put a nice re-raise in, and I'm telling him, look, I know I'm in bad position here, so I must have a hand here. I probably would re-raise and take it down there and be happy to take it down. And if he called, if a flop comes well unders, probably, bet pot or something. I just feel like I can't just call here. I just can't call. I feel like I have to re-raise with this particular player, with this particular read that he has on him, that he's loose, passive. Yeah, I'm gonna re-raise, because anybody who's passive and loose means that they're coming in with anything would probably fold to a pretty decent hike, so I would probably make it like 1,800.
Okay. Well, I tell you, that's what makes a loose aggressive such an effective strategy, is that it's so confusing.
Loose aggressive? You said loose passive.
No. I'm sorry. Loose passive. Yes,
yeah,
I'm
he's
sorry.
Not loose aggressive. Right. Okay. He's loose passive, which means that if I really popped it, he might lay
it
down.
Yeah, he might knock him down. All right. Very good.
So if that's what he's like, that's what I would have done. I don't know what he did, but that's what I would probably do, is make it 1,800.
All right, well, our hero says he could try to raise and take down the pot right now, but he recently gone broke with 8-8 in a recent live tournament, so he decides to take a peek at the flop before committing any more chips and just called. Now, this is an interesting little side, and we'll get back to the hand pretty quickly, but I found myself doing that, and I don't know whether you should. Just throwing away a hand because you just got committed in the last tournament and still got the stink of death on it.
I guess they say past is prologue, maybe, but... Really,
ooh, very Confucius of you.
Yeah, I can't let that sway me here. In this particular, every situation calls for the right play, and you can't let that affect it. If it was against this guy, that may be one thing, but no, I would have to do what I have to do. It's best for me at that moment against this particular player, and to me, it seems like it's a re-raise.
Okay. The flop is the deuce of diamonds, the seven of diamonds, and the deuce of clubs. So two deuces and two diamonds.
Yeah, I can't put the guy on a deuce, being from where he raised from, and I just can't put him on a deuce. So the only hand we're losing to really is an overpair or a pocket seven.
And remember, the small blind is still in his hand as well too.
I thought you said small blind folded. I'm pretty sure you said small blind folded.
No. Sorry, button folds. Small blind calls.
Yeah, well, still, we'll see what the small blind does then.
Yeah, that's true.
But I doubt the small blind's going to call a raise with a deuce in his hand, too, unless it's a deuce, ace, suit.
Yeah, suited ace, deuce. Yeah. Okay. All right, very good.
But really.
The pot is 1,800. Our hero has 4,400 behind, and it's three-handed. The small blind checks.
I'm probably betting about 1,500 here.
Okay.
I was going to bet 1,800 anyway before, so 1,500 here is only a little bit more than what the other bet would have been total. So I'm betting about 1,500 here and seeing what happens. What do we do?
All right, he says the flop looks pretty good for his hand, so he fires out 1,000 to both find out where he stands and charge the hand like two high cards, which he assumes the villain is sitting on a price to draw to winning. Yeah,
1,000's a little more than
half.
More than half. I guess you wanted to make a mistake, but I think that I still would probably bet a little more than that. Because you got all these scare cards that can come on a turn now.
Yeah.
9, 10, jack, king, queen, ace, anything scares you. And even a 7 scares you because they could have been calling, if they do call, could have been calling with top pair.
So, yeah, a diamond too, even though we have an 8 of diamonds, so that's not
really...
Yeah,
a diamond too. Yeah, I would have to bet more than that because if they have a flush draw, you're not giving them...
And you're right, if he's least passive, you know, a big bet, if he doesn't have anything, probably will get him out of there. Now, of course, we don't know what the small blind has, but I guess we could find out if he's...
The reason why I'm not worried about the small blind is because he says the villain. So that means that it's going to be ultimately against this one guy, too.
Gotcha.
So.
All right, very good.
But I just read that. That's not some information that he would have. But the two diamonds, you know, you want to make it so that they don't have the odds to call. So you want to bet more than half.
Okay, and I neglected at the beginning to say that the villain has us covered, had 7,700 at the beginning.
Yeah, I kind of assumed we were covered, but...
Okay, so the villain smooth call is a 1,000.
It's a smooth call?
Yeah, see...
So when you say smooth call, that means you have a big pair or something?
You're picking up on the little tells here. Yeah, ruining the hand of the week.
Sorry, buddy. Well, don't say smooth call. Smooth call tells me everything.
All right, so the villain calls the 1,000.
All right.
And the small blind folds quickly, and so we're off to the turn, a 4 of spades.
Fold. Fold. Don't even check. Fold. Because he smooth called. He must have, like, jacks or something. Fold.
Oh, my God. All right, so we have a 3,800 chip pot here.
All right, what was it again?
Four of spades.
All right, so... If I didn't know that he smooth called, because he could have two overs, I would probably bet again.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think if you put him on two big cards and not a pair, that you got to get him to.
Yeah.
Got to get him off now. You can't give him one more shot at the
wheel. Yeah, and the flush draw still hanging over our head like a dark cloud. All right, I guess I'll bet. I don't know how much though. Maybe $2,000, maybe. But that's like almost. That's more than 50% of my stack. If I'm going to bet that much, I might as well shove. But do I really want to shove? This is a tough one. I don't know. I can't check here, though. I don't know.
Again, we got in a situation where we're out of position, and I'm not saying I would have done anything differently here because you had a pair and then this flop, but that's what happens when you're out of position. You're forced to make these tough bet sizes and know that somebody's behind you. And
yeah. I'm going to have to bet like $2,000, I guess, which sucks because that's way more than... 50% of our stack now. So you really don't want to put 50% of your stack in there, you know, especially now that you said smooth call. I don't know what to do. But really, if it was me and I didn't know the guy that smooth called, I thought he might still be drawn to the diamonds.
Yeah, I mean, really, you're making a choice here, whether checking this, hoping you check it down or win it on the river and save whatever money you have left or essentially get it all in here.
Yeah, you could put a defensive bet out there too, something small, like 1,000 again, and then see what happens. But that's just, if he's got a flush draw, he's going to call. So that's the problem with it. But all right, so let's just do a defensive bet and put 1,000 out there, and if flush gets there, we can get away from our hand. How about that?
All right, sounds good. Our hero decides to check, though.
And I don't really fault that.
No, I said that's the other side of the coin here. You can.
But I feel terrible knowing that he smooth called, and if I check, I know he's going to bet, and I'm going to be going uphill here, I think. But all right, so we check. What happens
then? All right, and he says that if he's behind, he's committing less by check calling than by betting out, and if he has two high cards, he thinks his ace high is good on the paired dry board and try to steal the pot. Which is kind of both ends of the candle here, right?
Yeah.
The candles have two ends?
Yeah. You can make it that way.
Oh, okay. All right. I mean, because you check calling and then, all right, we'll see. All right. So the villain fires 1,000 into the 3,800 chip pot.
Like I said, I would have bet 1,000 likely. So if I did check and that happened, I might call just because I still have the overpair. This guy could easily just have a 7. So I might just call.
Okay, now if you call, you're going to have to figure out what you're hoping for on the river here. So I'm guessing no paint?
Well, no paint, really. If a 9 or a 10 comes, I probably think I'm still good.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're really hoping for like an 8. That's what we're hoping for. But I'll take
you're not asking for much, are you?
I'll take a 3 or a 5 or a 6, you know. Even maybe an ace, you know, maybe we're hoping for something under an 8 that doesn't pair the board. How's that?
All right. So, you know, our hero's thinking, he says he thinks the bet's fishy, but he's getting 5-1 on his money. So a call is compulsory here, right? He asks.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you have to call.
Yeah. The pot's 5,800. His stack is 2,400. He says perhaps a shove here is better as I'm already pot committed. But in that case, you probably should have shoved beforehand. Yeah, but yeah. All right. So our hero calls, and the river is the 4 of diamonds.
What hand could he have with a 4 in it? You know, unless it was, because the 4 of diamonds now to the flush, so. God. Check. Check. Tap. Rap. Hit the knuckle. Check. Do whatever you got to do. I'm checking and probably getting away from it. Even 2,400 is still enough. You know, you still have 12 big blinds if you have to. This guy makes a big bet. I'm getting away from it.
All right.
I'm checking.
Of course, there's three diamonds out there, too. So yeah.
That's what I mean. Yeah. So the check might be like I'm trying to trap with a flush draw and then get to show it down.
Very good. Of course, you know, with two pairs, what a weird board.
It's a real weird board.
All right. So he says he put his hero on ace-king, so if that's the case, he just bricked off and his eight is good. If he happened to have a flush draw, however, it's not consistent with his action. That's probably true. So he checks to the villain who bets 2,000, which leaves him 400 in bus fare if he just wants to call here.
I don't know. I'd probably get away from it. That guy knows that he's only going to get called by a hand that's better than his, and it likely wasn't a deuce or a four that was in your hand, so... I would probably fold and take my 2,400 and hope I double up on the next hand and I'll have 48 again. We only lost 50% of our stack, so I'd probably get away from it there.
Yeah, you know, here's the other thing. The blinds are at 100, 200, too. So, I mean, that's still 12 big blinds, right?
Yeah, and you're in the big blind, so you just all you got is a small blind left. Then you got another whole rotation. So, at worst, you're going to have 2,300 left with the button.
Yeah, it's good defensive poker, right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not with the button, but I mean, you know what I mean. You'll have a bunch of hands left.
Right.
I would probably fold.
All right, well, a hero decides to call, and he does call it a crying call. And the villain turns over. Deuce of spades, five of spades.
Wow, I could never have put him on
that. Certainly qualifies as the loose part of the loose passive.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't put him on a deuce at all. That's some scary stuff
there. Yeah, and, you know, he raised preflop with it very well.
Yeah, and see, now, what happens if I re-raise with the eights preflop, though? Really? What happens when I re-raise
there? That's true.
He does not call with
Deuce. See, once again, you're a genius, and I don't care what people write in to say. That I know you were thinking that all along.
Well, it's just my read, and if that was his read, he should have re-raised. That's all I can come up with. So I wouldn't have been in this whole predicament anyway. Either he would have folded, or he would have gotten it all in pre-flop. So. Well, that was a good hand, and I love that. It's from Why Mama.
Why Mama.
And that's it. We're all done.
Yeah, I guess, you know, we can sit around and talk about a bunch of other stuff, but...
Yeah, we got things to do.
We'll get back to the lodge, right?
Hey, let us know what you think of the new news segment, too. And then if you keep a diary, send it along. Tell us what you do. And maybe Scott will adapt it to his strategy.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm not a writer, so.
Yes. Very true.
All right. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We will see you at the table. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network. And what are we going to send them, Scott?
A great t-shirt from Donkey Gear, and Donkey Gear offers poker wear geared towards those who like to be the monkey. The monkey? What the f***?
And so, Scott, what are we going to send them?
We are going to send them a quality t-shirt from the good folks at DonkeyGear.net. DonkeyGear.net offers poker wear.
So, and what are we going to send them today, Scott?
Chris, we're going to send them a quality t-shirt from the good folks at DonkeyGear.net. DonkeyGear offers poker wear.